Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everyone, and after a week off for the 4th of July, welcome back to Taking You to School, that's my other show, Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. We got new theme music for both shows.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bad start, right, Bob?
Well, it's not a bad start, it's just an informative start. I mean, it's a cheap way to get publicity for your other show.
All right, well, anyway, Taking You to School comes on Sundays. This is Thursday. I'm with Bob Lavelle, legendary sportscaster from Boston.
That show is about basketball.
Basketball.
Taking you to school.
So,
okay.
All
right.
We learn you a little something. Thank you for spending your lunch break with us.
I know you're a huge basketball fan, so this is good. I could care less about the NBA, and you could care a lot about it, so it's a good match.
It really is, and we touch on a lot of college basketball, too. I'm more of a college basketball guy, but I got some buddies with me that love the NBA. I'm a casual NBA fan. I know you're a little tired of the NBA.
I am like a huge fan of what the Celtics have done. I mean, I'm not in terms of rebuilding. And the problem with the college game is that it's like one and done. But I guess you're the one I ought to ask about Brad Stevens. I think that's a genius move.
Yeah, and, you know, I went to college out in Indiana. I went to Purdue, so I got to kind of watch a little bit of the development of that Butler program under him. And, man, the guy is just a sharp basketball mind, not just from a tactical standpoint. He's one of the best tactical coaches in college basketball. He's really one of these new-age kind of stat nuts, and he coaches his players based on what their highest probability is in certain situations, uses a lot of advanced statistics and metrics and things like that. But also the guy's just got a great eye for talent. You know, he found people like Gordon Hayward, who's an NBA player right now. The guy was unrecruited out of Indiana. So, you know, maybe he's the kind of guy, who knows how that'll translate to the NBA level, but maybe he's the kind of guy that can find a second-round player that could develop into a contributor or a late first-round pick. You know, they're going to have a lot of these late first-round picks.
What about Olenek? This kid. How about maybe I'm not pronouncing his name right.
No, you got it. Olenek.
Olenek is draft. He looks. It's hard to believe he's 7 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an interesting prospect. Big guy, pretty athletic, pretty skilled, but the knock on him was he didn't play against great competition because he was always playing at Gonzaga. And you know, maybe there was a slight knock on him for being a little soft, kind of like Tyler Zeller, who came out of Indiana. But for what the Celtics need, you know, they're not going to be good right away. In fact, it almost would be to their detriment to be pretty good right away. They kind of want to tank and get an early pick in this loaded draft coming up. So Olenek's a guy with a lot of skill, a lot of upside, that probably will take a little bit of time to develop. But for what they need right now, it's probably not a bad thing, right, Bob?
No, not a bad thing, but I can't. The whole tanking thing is just, it's not okay. You know, that's the problem with the NBA. You have to tank in order to rank, and it's not competitive. I mean, it's just, there's a flaw. That's why the NBA is such a flawed league. Well, it's one reason. The other reason, it's built on stars, not on teams. So, you know, that's why I just have really become to dislike it.
Yeah, well, you know, those two things are kind of tied together because since it's built on stars, you can't win with a bunch of pretty good players. You need two or three really, really good players, and you're not going to find them typically at the bottom of the first round.
I don't understand. I don't know what the appeal is. That, to me, is what is the appeal? Now, okay, I understand the appeal of Blake Griffin. I understand that, you know, those kinds of shows. But you either can hit a three-point shot or you can dunk. But you know what? There's nothing in between. I'm really, now that we're talking here, totally turned off by the NBA.
Well, you know, you're kind of right. The mid-range game is kind of becoming a lost art. Only the truly great players have seemingly any semblance of a mid-range game anymore. And that's kind of what separates the good players from great players. But I would say the regular season isn't that fun to me because we kind of know who's going to go just based on talent level. But, man, were the final four of these playoffs, especially with the Eastern Conference, with the series with the Pacers and the Heat, I thought that was just a great contrast of styles.
It was a great contrast.
Yeah.
I know you went to the finals as well. Yeah. What were how much did tickets cost for that game, seventh game? You went to the seventh game for the Pacers
team.
What are the tickets going for?
You know, like I said, we didn't pay for our tickets, but I looked up where
we
were sitting on StubHub. Yeah, and they were going for around $15,000 where we were sitting. They were pretty expensive.
I mean, get out of town. That's ridiculous. And I guess they have buyers, right? That's the frightening part.
Yeah. It's something else. And Miami, it was a celebrity event more than it was a sporting event. So it was a place for the super rich to be seen.
God, you know, I'm sorry. I'm you know what? Enough of that. That's not for me, but it does point out that it's, to me, it's not your everyday game. It's a game for the super rich and the superstars.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it is turning a lot of people off to it. Well, that's unexpected NBA talk here in the first portion of Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. But Bob, obviously the big show in town right now, the Red Sox are going on. They're in first place, best record in baseball. A really unexpected turnaround, as we've spoken about a little bit. We're entering the All-Star break. I believe they play Seattle a little later today, and then they'll head to Oakland before the All-Star game. But the first half of the season has been, you know, an unbelievable success for the Red Sox. What specifically about this team has impressed you the most so far?
The thing that's impressed me the most about the Red Sox has been guys like Lackey and DuBron. Everything else is, and of course, Buchholz can't stay healthy. There's a lot of things to be impressed with. Iglesias, come on, this is crazy. Iglesias, he's a different person. He's in a different body.
Yeah.
He's a different ball player. How can you not be impressed by what he's been able to do?
Yeah. A lot of guys really, you know, it's been some guys getting healthy, a lot of guys kind of turning things around and some savvy additions. Who's the biggest guy for you right now? Who is your first half of the season MVP for the Sox?
Well, I guess either Iglesias or Lackey. I guess Lackey has been the biggest surprise, but MVP, you know, I still have to go with Ellsbury. I think nothing happens unless he happens. Ellsbury, I think, has been the one reason that their offense is the way it is right now. So, okay, I'm picking three, Ellsbury, Lackey, and Iglesias. Sorry.
The ultimate cop.
Is that wrong?
I like it.
Is that wrong?
No. I mean, I think it kind of signifies this team because it has been such a team effort in this turnaround. But you mentioned Ellsbury and his recent tear. It kind of taken that offense, which is already maybe the best in baseball, to new heights. But also they have, you know, some real good pitching when they're healthy. I mean, you never want to predict what can happen when you get in the playoffs.
How can I leave out Ortiz? I mean, the same thing.
Yeah.
I would say this, Joe, that the dilemma for the Red Sox now is the trading deadline and Ellsbury. I guess they're going to keep him and use him for the best of their ability, hoping they can win it all this year and then run the risk of losing him after the season's over, because I think that risk is very high. Probability of that is very high.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people were saying, thinking that he'll miss out of Boston. But, you know, with the way things are rolling right now, is it worth it?
Well, if you're a general manager, do you deal him before the trade deadline so you can get maximum value of a team that's willing to rent him? Or do you use him to help you win and then take your chances, which seem to be, you're going to lose him. The question is, You want to keep them to help you win. Okay. I've changed my mind on this, okay?
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
I keep them.
Uh-huh.
I think you got to go for it while you have the chance. And you can't base your decisions on what-ifs. You can only base, mm-hmm. I think, realistic decisions on, hey, he's one of the best players we have, great leadoff man, stolen base, amazing. And the only bad thing about him is his arm. But so what? You can live with that. I think you keep him and run the risk of losing him. That's that.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. And kind of for the same reason we talked about how we don't like teams tanking in the NBA. You know, you take a short-term hit, hopefully it paying off way down the road. I think, you know, you've got what may be the best team in baseball right now. I would not try to get maximum value for a couple years down the road when you've got a real chance to be the best team in the American League and make a run deep in the playoffs, because, you know, we've seen how quickly things can fall apart with teams. And if you don't get the right pieces back, we see, you know, Boston's brought in some pretty good pieces in the past, and it hasn't quite worked out for them.
Yeah, everything you say is true. And I think the running joke is a Savage. They don't want him to spend one night in a hotel with the team. The minute he pitches, they put him on a plane and send him back to Rhode Island. It's amazing. He's gone again. You know, he pitches two outs, and they bring him out to the West Coast for two outs, and they send him back to Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they don't want him around that team anymore unless he's out on the field playing. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of talk has been about the clubhouse karma, if you will. It's obviously an indescribable, intangible thing, but is that really going on with the Red Sox?
Somebody's got to be a joke. No, you have guys that are really let's start down the lineup. Ellsbury, playing for a contract, big incentive, staying healthy, and doing what he's doing. Lack of power, but still. He's got his own motivations. And I'll just say this, baseball is a very individual sport. Victorino, a huge get. Unfortunately, he's injured far too much for me. But on the other hand, he's a huge get and a really interesting player. And a great arm and whatever. And then you got, you know, the phenom, Bradley, and then Pedroia's Pedroia. Then all of a sudden, there's Iglesias. And there's... These guys, between Napoli and Gomes and Karp and Nava, they've been able to put together more than adequate subs and backup people. So it's just a matter of being able to use these guys in the right situation. And then, besides that depth, their bullpen, which many people thought was their strength, has now become... you know, fragile, so they're able to bring up a guy like Workman, who I think is going to be lights out for the next couple of months. I think this is going to be a huge move by the Red Sox. Could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong, but I think this kid is going to be the real deal.
Yeah, and it would certainly help augment that staff there. And the Red Sox, you know,
totally.
You've never taken for granted in the American League East.
I don't know what's going on, Lester. They're going to face the iron here. They're done with the All-Star break. Then it's the Yankees and the Orioles and Tampa Bay, I think, in that order. I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, they got a lot of games coming up against the Yankees. They play the Yankees like nine more times. Most of them are at Fenway. But,
which will be a lot of fun.
Of anybody. Yeah, the best schedule of anybody in the East, because most of their games against the Eastern opponents are at home.
Always a plus. And, you know, you look at a team like Tampa Bay, I think they've won, what, 7 in a row, 9 out of the last 10.
Now they're hot. They finally
kind of surprising
figured
people.
It out. There's no question. They're right there now, all of a sudden. Toronto's, Toronto could be sellers real fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I was saying, you never take anything for granted in this division. It's constantly one of the very best in baseball. And this year, you know, you sure look at the NL Central as being one of the best, but the American League is certainly up there. The Yankees have their problems, but they're always going to be, a tough team to beat. and things like that. So obviously a long way to go for the Red Sox, but certainly a great first half of the season. Can't say anything more about
you
that.
Know, you know what's good? And of course, this list of 20, 25 players that they want to suspend, many of them are in the minor leagues now, but
yeah.
You're talking about Brian and A-Rod,
yeah.
That's going to be crazy. It's going to be a mess. It's going to dominate the landscape for the rest of the season. So while many people will talk about that, the Red Sox just can kind of keep on playing under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of weird how the team with the best record in baseball can kind of be a little, and from Boston, be a little under the radar.
But some, that's true. A number of people have asked me, are there any on that list? Have you seen the list? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
But I know who's not on it. I can't tell you who's on it except for the names that have been printed, like but Bartolo Colon and Braun and A-Rod and a couple other guys. But I can tell you who's not on it. I can't tell you who's on it, but not on it. And there are not any Red Sox on it. So people can kind of calm down about that.
Yeah, definitely a good sign. You know, not Boston related, but I do want to get your opinion a little bit on this A-Rod mess of, you know, the situation with him. First of all, in and out of the lineup, in and out of rehab games. What is he going to play? The little feud with him and Cashman about him tweeting something and Cashman mad at him because he didn't want him to tell that he was ready for rehab games and things like that. Has there ever been a player more high profile and talented that's been this much of a headache to a team that's invested this much money in him?
No, I don't think so. But he is a headache, and I'll tell you this. A lot of it has to do with the money. He wants to get paid, and Cashman wants him to get suspended. So if he gets suspended, he's not going to get paid. So really, you know, as good as he is, as talented as he is, or how much he might have lost in that talent, the Yankees would love to see him suspended for 100 games so they don't have to pay him.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Kind of sad.
It's sad, but it's welcome to our world.
Yeah. No, fair enough. All right, well, moving on from the Yankees, I'm sure we'll talk about them a lot down the stretch when we get to some exciting Red Sox Yankees games.
Well, they're coming back in town at the end of next week.
Yeah. Yep, so I'm sure we're going to get right for the All-Star break. So we're going to get plenty of time to talk Red Sox Yankees probably on next week's show. But I do want to talk real quick about the Bruins. Two notes about the Stanley Cup runner-ups from Boston. They just signed Tukarask to an 8-year, $56 million extension. Bob, you know, after the playoff run he had, they didn't finish it with a cup win, but that had to be a no-brainer, right?
A no-brainer. I don't know how much of that's guaranteed. I don't know if it's like a National Football League contract or a Major League Baseball contract. It's hard to imagine all of that's going to be guaranteed. But, I mean, you got to have a goaltender, and you got to have a really good one. And they have a really good one, and you're going to have to pay for that. And that's the going price for really good goaltenders. It's not that he broke the bank, but he pushed the limits, that's for sure.
Yeah, he definitely did. And, you know, the Bruins have been pretty busy this offseason, making a couple moves, obviously, Gimlet coming in, letting go of
some
players.
It's been unbelievable,
Joe. Like
between the Bruins and Celtics and the Red Sox, talk about retooling. About the Red Sox last year. Horrible. Everybody was complaining about sellouts and Valentine. Well, the Red Sox totally retooled, and they have – it's an amazing turnaround. Same thing with the Bruins and Celtics. They didn't waste any time at all with the remake. You got to give them credit. They just went out and did what they had to do in a very short period of time. The team that's reeling right now are the Celtics. I'm sorry, the Patriots. Patriots are having trouble finding their way right now, and hopefully that's all going to get resolved. But it's going to be tough for a while because that Hernandez thing is going to be front and center for a long time, long time.
Oh, yeah, and it's also going to probably cost them financially because they cut him, and you still got to pay some of that cap money back. So I believe I was reading it's going to cost them $8 million against the cap, not this year, but next season. So Hernandez is, you know, kind of Icky legacy is going to loom at least for another 2 years in New England. You know, you talk about the Patriots. I was reading an article today on ESPN Boston. Mike Rodak does a great job. He does a thing called Bubble Watch for players that are on the bubble of making the roster. And he was obviously the biggest guy that everyone's curious is going to make the roster, is Tim Tebow. He only gave him a 25% chance of making the team. Thoughts on Tebow? I know you don't want to get into, you know, will he make the roster, will he not be, but are you rooting for Tebow to make this team?
If he can be if he can play tight end, I'm rooting for him. I don't care about the personality involved. So it never really caught on to the Tebow mania. But if he can help them, yeah, then I'll root for him. If he can play tight end and block and catch a ball here and there, he might be of some value. I think he's worth a shot, worth taking a look at. But I would never argue against Mike Reese because he's about as good a reporter as he gets.
Well, you know, the thing about the Patriots, we talked about, rebuilding with the Celtics and the Bruins, and I think the Bruins were really on point. You know, they're right on the cusp of being, you know, a cup championship team, and they went out and proved themselves about as quickly as they could. The Celtics, I think, on the other hand, were about a year or two late on rebuilding that thing. I think they were, in year five or six of a three-year plan, but they were still, you know, contending for the Eastern Conference Finals every year, so it's hard, you know, to hold it against keeping together a team that won a championship for the city. The Patriots, they're kind of in the same boat. You know, they're right on the cusp every year. We're in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, AFC Championship game last year, and they're, you know, probably a fumble away from beating the Ravens last year. So they're right on the cusp, but they made some tough decisions. You know, they let Welker walk and brought in a younger guy in Amendola. So, you know, if you're the Patriots, what do you think you do? You know, would you want to blow that thing up, or do you think you can keep contending with the squad you've got right now?
Well, you got to keep contending because you can't blow it up because you don't have many years left with Brady and Belichick. So, you know, you played your cards. I wonder if things had been different if they had known about Hernandez and Gronkowski before Welker was moved. They might have kept Welker. But that's water over the dam. The fact remains that they're going to open up the season without their two best tight ends in the league, Gronkowski and Hernandez, and they're never getting one of them back. The other one's a little shaky injury-wise. So, yeah, they've got some tight ends on their roster, but nothing of the caliber that they're going to be missing.
Yeah, certainly
I think Amendola is going to be fine. I think they're going to be okay. Because remember, they play the Jets and Buffalo twice, so it's a matter of, you know, competition. They're going to win 12 games, whether they're good or not.
Yeah, well, it does seem like the Patriots, the Bills haven't been good for a while. Jets, you know, they've been very good at times and very, very bad at other times. And the Dolphins haven't been good in seemingly a decade. You know, they had that one good year, I believe, in 2008, where they won the division and Brady was hurt. But, man, it seems like the Patriots are pretty much written in 10 wins every year, and it's just a matter of if they're good, they'll win 14. If they're pretty good, they'll win 12. Do you kind of feel that way with this team this year?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with playing in the AFC East because it's these people twice, and usually the other competition is pretty bad. So you kind of pencil yourself in for 6 wins there, Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets. So it's everything else. You got to pick one here, pick one there. So I think 10, 11, 12 wins is not out of the question at all, even without Hernandez and Gronkowski.
Yeah, and obviously it helps to have a quarterback like Tom Brady. So no matter who your receivers are, you always feel a little bit more comfortable when you have one of the greatest quarterbacks thrown to him.
This is it. This could be it. You know, every year I say it, but I have this feeling that this might be it for Tom. Maybe there's 2 or 3 more years left. I don't know, but would not surprise me if he came out and said, I'm going to retire after this year. Would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, well, I think it would surprise a lot of people, but, you know, you're right. You know, the guy's won it all.
I'd be hugely disappointed, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
No, I was just saying, it would be surprising, but when you look back, you know, if it were to happen, you'd look back and say, you know, the guy's done it all. You know, the team around him is kind of falling apart a little bit. Could you blame him?
Right. It's falling apart through no fault of his own, but you can't blame him. I wouldn't blame him. He gets a free pass around here no matter what he decides. We know that. He's unless of course, he's done some heinous acts that none of us know about that's going to come out in the press, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I would not expect that from Tom Brady. Bob, last thing I want to get you to comment on before we go. We got a couple of minutes left. The Bruins are now training all of their rookies on the do's and don'ts of Twitter. First of all, I don't know all the do's and don'ts of Twitter, so I could probably use that class. After the Tyler Seguin incident where he made some homophobic remarks, things like that, the team had to apologize. Is this just moving into the 21st century? Is this something we're going to see from every team? And is it just a necessity? Just like you have to train your kids not to say something stupid on Twitter these days?
No, you have to train your stupid kids. You don't have to train them all. You just got to make sure your stupid kids are up to speed. Because most people have good sense to know what to do and what not to do. Clearly, Sagan is not in that category. It probably caught everybody by surprise that he did that. But now, it's a lesson. It's a teachable moment for a lot of people. So if anybody's got any inclination to go out and do what Tyler Seguin did under the uniform of the Boston Bruins, they're gonna make sure that you know the consequences and that there will be consequences.
Yeah, well said, Bob. Well said, Bob. All right, that's all the time we've got for today's show. Bob, thank you so much for joining me and everyone out there.
I love
so
talking
much
to you, Joe. Thank you. Take care.
All right, and join us next week, same time, same place. Goodbye, everyone.